1-800-449-8686.
Eric, why has your center voted Michael Jackson the single most handsome man in America?
Well, Phil, his face, first of all, his face is symmetrically perfect. And I think that that is the first thing that we go on, the symmetry of the face. And his eyes are sculpted, and they're very beautiful. His nose is a perfect, I suppose you could call a Hepburn-style nose. It's very classically European. He has a very well-shaped mouth. He has very full but very masculine lips. His cheekbones are very high and prominent. The forehead, in perfect proportion to the rest of the face, which sometimes is deceptive because we don't know why perhaps one person's face might look more handsome, for instance, than another. And a lot of times it's the forehead, the prominence of the forehead. The ears fall nicely along the line of the neck. And his hair frames his face in a very classically masculine manner. So we took all of that into consideration when our center voted Michael Jackson to be the most handsome face in America, which doesn't mean that there aren't other handsome men.
All right, Eric Hester joins us from the Center for Surgical Cosmetic Enhancement in La Jolla, California. Every year they give out what you call America's most handsome face. This year it's Michael Jackson's. Now, one of the reasons we wanted to have you on is this picture that appeared in the press. I was shocked at how much this man has changed.
I understand.
The scabbing on the nose, there seems to be some very pronounced disfigurement there.
Mr. Henry, first of all, I am aware of that picture. It was printed without any real context. You need to understand, the scabbing that you see on the end of Mr. Jackson's nose is the result of a very minor surgical procedure, which one could call a tune-up, for some recent surgery that he had. It's very common after the first 6 weeks to see this abrasion on the outer epidermis of the nose. It's very consistent with the healing process. So what's happening here, I think, are these photographers keep catching Michael in the worst possible light after he hasn't had any sleep, or when he is weak, or 2 weeks away from being healed.
Michael Jackson has achieved this look that you are giving him an award for, primarily through plastic surgery, and I know you represent plastic surgeons.
Well, we don't make any distinction. We certainly believe plastic surgery can help people who are not satisfied with their look. Perhaps their ethnicity, but the end result in Mr. Jackson's case is a face that is so truly perfect and exquisitely sculpted that it's a testament to the art of plastic surgery itself, and the gift that it continues to give people down through the years I don't think can be overstated. It really does enhance people's lives.
What about the skin lightening? What about the fact that this is a man, whether he has a perfect face or not, this man no longer has black skin. He no longer has the physical facial characteristics of an African-American man.
Well, Phil, if I could jump in. Let's slow down and take that one at a time. The skin lightening, that is a subjective textural choice that the patient makes. But in Michael Jackson's case, I think he did something that no African-American man has ever done before. He has lightened his skin so that he could still retain his African-American heritage and culture, while at the same time move through the world of the white man, unobstructed, unjudged, and were he not the famous Michael Jackson that we know and love, unnoticed. No black man has been able to do that. So Michael is a man of such uncommon physical beauty that it's hard not to do a double take when he walks into the room. But what you're looking at is a man who is doing something no black man has done before.
You're saying he's spying on white people?
Well, I'm not saying he's spying. I'm saying he can move through the world of the white person and then go back to his black brothers and sisters, as they like to call themselves, and report on the things he's seen and how white people live.
You're serious?
Well, first of all, I don't think he's self-hating.
Well, he's lightened his skin, and he's changed his face so that he doesn't look like an African man.
And I understand that, but I also believe that he's very much in love with his culture and his people. As I've heard him say on many occasions, I think he likes the idea of getting in where the white man lives, listening, eavesdropping on conversations, watching how they eat, watching the things they do, and then he goes back to where all of the African Americans live, sits around, discusses what he's seen, informs his fellow brothers and his sisters and his brothers about what the white man does, And I think it's very educational. I think he's doing something very, very valid.
All right, Eric, I'm going to give our phone number out here. Eric Hester is with us from the Center for Surgical Cosmetic Enhancement. They have voted Michael Jackson the man with the single most handsome face in America. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. And I would have many of you reference a photograph that appeared on the Drudge Report yesterday and a few magazines and newspapers, a picture of Michael Jackson where it looks like his nose is falling off. I mean, he's got scabbing on his nose, scabbing on his lips.
Well, again, Phil, all of that is post-operative abrasion on the epidermis that has nothing to do with the plastic surgery.
All right, so he's not, his face isn't falling apart.
No, he's not, his face isn't falling apart. You're talking to a man who represents a group of cosmetic surgeons, plastic surgeons. We know what beautiful people look like, and we certainly know what a handsome man looks like. Look at Michael Jackson's face. You are looking at the face of perfection, and the scabbing that you saw on his nose is some skin that is sloughing off after a minor surgery that he had, and it'll go away in a couple of weeks, I can assure you.
Okay, now let's get over here to the subject of him lightening his skin. When you talk about this guy lightening his skin so he can look like when I say he looks like a white man, it's hard for me to see that he's a very handsome guy. I mean, his face is perfect, according to you.
But, Phil, here is a guy who has attracted Elizabeth Taylor.
Well, but Elizabeth Taylor does she hang out with him because she wants sex?
Elizabeth Taylor is one of the world's most beautiful women. Would you agree with that?
I would agree that at one time she was a beautiful woman.
All right. Lisa Marie Presley, Diana Ross, Brooke Shields. These are women half of his age, some women younger than half his age, who would leave their husbands tomorrow and would be in Michael Jackson's arms by nightfall, and not because of his success, but because of the man's good looks and his sex appeal.
You know, Mr. Hester, with all due respect, I'm sorry, I don't see Michael Jackson, you know.
Well, first of all, Phil, don't worry about it. You're a man. Men don't respond to these surveys having to do with physical beauty. They don't quite get it. But the ones that get it are the women, and they're the ones that count. And I think some men who pay attention to style and personal grooming also understand it. And I say that with all due respect, but I don't mean to offend you, but a certain level of fashion sense and taste among men, they understand this quite well.
Well, I know women who are attracted to handsome men.
And that's why Michael Jackson pretty much could have any woman that he wanted. I mean, look at the face. It's perfect. And I'm a straight man. I am a straight man, and I have two kids that I love and adore, but even I, when I look at Michael Jackson's face, I would like just once to kiss his lips. That's how beautiful his face is to me. And perhaps it's because I worked in the plastic surgery field for a long time. But just me, I would love to kiss his lips and linger there for a moment, because the face...
Well, what you're saying to me is he's got a very feminine face, doesn't he?
No, a feminine... Well, what's the difference? It's a beautifully handsome, sculpted face. It may be the perfect face, because you don't know what sex that face is. And so you could kiss Michael Jackson on the lips and think you're kissing a woman. It's that simple.
Well, I don't know what we're talking about here now.
We're talking about a handsome, handsome man who transcends beauty.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show, talking with Eric Hester of the Center for Surgical Cosmetic Enhancement. Karen, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Mr. Hester. How are you?
Fine.
Mr. Hendry, I'm sorry.
I'm Mr. Hendry, and this is Mr. Hester.
Hello,
yes,
Karen.
I'm sorry. I have a comment to make to Mr. Hester about
Karen,
where he stated that Michael Jackson was changing his color, then going back to the brothers and the sisters, as he so called it, and discussing what white people are doing. I frankly find that very offensive. I am a black
person.
Well,
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you, Karen. I guess I'm just trying to explain to Mr. Hendry who found fault with Mr. Jackson's lightening of his skin.
Well, Mr. Jackson has, you know, he makes his own choices.
Yeah, exactly.
But the fact that you were saying that he was going in and then basically in the white community, then going back into the black community and then telling us what white people are doing. I mean, come on, you've got to be more educated than that.
Well,
whose table is sitting around?
Right, what
he's
I'm
not
trying
sitting
to say,
around mine.
Well, Karen, what I'm trying to say is that Michael Jackson can operate in the world of the white man like no other African American can. And so he can move, nobody notices him being black because he looks so white. So then he can talk with his black friends, such as yourself or whoever it is that he talks to, and you understand what I'm saying, Ben?
I think you're full of it. You have a good day.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. She thinks you're full of it. And
this is an opinion that I have, Phil. This I am saying is 100%. It's an opinion that I have. But keep in mind that Michael Jackson has chosen to lighten his skin and to narrow his nose for a reason. And I would never in a million years think it's because he hates being a black man. I think it's because he wants to look like a white man so that he can live with the white man and then return to the black people and sit around, whatever they do, campfires, and tell tales of the white people that he knows.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking here to, let's see, Eric Hester, the Center for Surgical Cosmetic Enhancement. And this man believes that Michael Jackson's face, his organization, his center believes that Michael Jackson is the single most handsome man in America, the single most perfect face in America. Even though his face is cosmetically changed, it doesn't matter. His face is absolutely perfect. And any woman in America would glad to be in Michael Jackson's bed and his arms by nightfall. The guy's got sex appeal. He's got good looks. Women would go to bed with him and have sex with him, and it has nothing to do with the money that he makes. I find it interesting because there is a photograph of Michael Jackson circulating widely showing him with terrible scabbing on his nose and his lips. Some people think that the plastic surgery that he has had is disintegrating, but Mr. Hester assures us that is simply post-operative abrasions that go away. What do you think? Is Michael Jackson the most handsome man in America? And if you're a woman, do you find him sexy? 1-800-449-8686. And if you're an African-American, has he really lightened his skin so that he can go into the world of the white man, find out what we do, and then go back to black people and report on it? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Jealous of Michael Jackson.
Because of his looks.
Oh, absolutely. Again, Michael set out, he had a dream, he wanted to have a great face. And
what was wrong with Michael Jackson's face when he was a kid? There's pictures of him when he's, I don't know how old he is, 19, 20, 21. He's a handsome kid.
Well, that's a subjective decision, Phil.
To me, he was better looking then than he is now.
Well, I think as a talk show host, you need to say that because you want African people to believe that they're good-looking and...
Well, they are. I've had 3-4 black girlfriends, if you must know.
Well, I didn't ask you that. You told me.
Well, I mean, I'm just telling you, I think that there are many beautiful black people. The fact of the matter is this. Michael Jackson has lightened his skin, has changed his face. You may say he's got...
Look, I represent, Phil, the Center for Surgical Cosmetic Enhancement in La Jolla, California. We know what beauty is. We're plastic surgeons. So I appreciate what you're trying to say, Phil, but you're just way off base. We are plastic surgeons. We know better than anyone else what beauty is.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Bernadette, welcome to the Phil Hendry Show with Eric Hester of the Center for Cosmetic Enhancement. Bernadette?
Oh, hi, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, I think it's people really that express opinions like Mr. Hester's, and he's certainly entitled to that, that make little black children feel as if they're not beautiful. And that's something quite the opposite of what I tell any children around me of any color. There are many, many perfect faces of every race, and I think...
I don't know what I said to have you believe that. What did I say to make you believe that?
Well, it seems as if you're glorifying beauty toward what Mr. Jackson
has done. Bernadette, have you moved your phone? Have you moved your phone or something? You started out clear, and now you're muffled.
I'm driving.
Okay, I got it.
Let me express this, Bernadette. Michael Jackson lightened his skin so that he could participate in the white world and return to his people and tell them the wondrous things that he's seen. I'm simply saying, you understand what I'm saying, right?
No, because you're saying that if your skin's dark, that basically you're not going to be able to mix or mingle with white people comfortably?
Well, it's just that they'll notice you. Michael Jackson isn't noticed.
Of course,
by
as we notice them.
Okay. And so he can go into a Starbucks or wherever white people go, have...
I go there, too.
All right, but they say...
I'm very dark.
When you go in there, they say, okay, here comes another black person, and there's nothing wrong with that, but they notice that you're black. Michael Jackson, they'll go ahead and say hello, good morning, and not feel threatened.
With everything you say...
That's exactly where I thought you would, okay.
With everything you say, you get deeper into the stuff here.
What am I saying?
Well, they don't feel threatened.
No, you're getting me wrong. When a black woman walks into a Starbucks, you like her, but you don't... See what I'm saying?
When a black woman walks into a Starbucks, sometimes when I was single, I'd hit on her.
Okay, Bernadette, you know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't. What you're doing tonight, and I don't
Bernadette,
know if you do this all the time,
Michael,
if that's your opinion in general.
Michael Jackson... lightened up his
Michael
skin
Jackson.
So he could communicate better with...
No, he did not.
Michael
Jackson chose to lighten his skin. For some reason, he wasn't satisfied with what he looked like. Many, many black people whom I think are beautiful go through this entire life. Michael Jordan, for example, someone who is very dark.
Well,
I think he's a beautiful man.
Well, but we're talking about who's really good looking, and we've decided that it's Michael Jackson. Thank you. I'm all done.
All right, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go to Mary. Hi, Mary. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Hi, Mary.
I have two comments and a question. My first comment
is... Hi, Mary.
Is...
This is Eric Hester of the Center for Surgical Enhancement.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very fine.
Okay. I believe whether a white person or a black person walked into a Starbucks, you wouldn't expect anything from them because they were just an ordinary person. When Michael Jackson walks into a Starbucks, whether he's black or bleached, it's Michael Jackson. It has nothing
to do. Well, that's true. That's very true. He's very
famous. You know
what
I mean?
He's very famous. But let's say he wasn't famous and had that beautiful face of his. He'd walk in and people would say, my God, look at that good-looking man. Look at that good-looking white man.
His face looks deformed.
No, that scabbing is from surgery that he had, and now he's going to be fine. He's got a...
Okay,
how can you say his face is deformed? He looks gorgeous.
When you look at his face, maybe the outline shape may be perfect, but his eyes look strange.
You wouldn't want to kiss him.
No.
On the lips.
He would scare me. If he wasn't Michael Jackson and I saw someone, he'd scare me.
All right, Mary, I've got to say
this. Wait, I have to answer.
But I got to say this. You called him bleached. You called him bleached. Are you trying to say he's not white? Is that what you're trying to say?
He's not white. He stated his skin color.
Is that not racist of you? If it wasn't for Michael Jackson, black people would still think a grande mocha was Barry White, as we like to say. But I have a thing that...
Okay, that's very funny. Are we doing jokes now?
I think he bleached his skin. It has nothing to do with a racist comment. He bleached his skin.
Well, you're saying...
If I was an olive Italian person and wanted to be lighter, I'd bleach my skin.
Are you Italian?
Yes, but pale skin.
But you get mistaken for an African-American then, as most Italians do. But the thing that is interesting, don't you ever get mistaken for... black?
No, you didn't listen to me. I'm Italian, but I have very light skin.
All right, well, like your mother or father, haven't they been asked to leave a movie theater or taken off a bus?
No.
They don't look like...
You're like
oh,
not
man.
Living in the current
time.
Okay,
hold on, Mary. 1-800-449-8686. Eric Hester of the Center for Surgical Cosmetic Enhancement. They voted Michael Jackson the country's most handsome man. What do you think of that?
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Four four nine 1-800-886-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
A lot of the blacks would bleach themselves out to try to get into parties. And
all right, we're back with Eric Hester, our number 1-800-449-8686. Just so we know, Mr. Hester, you're not a doctor, right?
No, sir, I am not a doctor. I work as a public relations specialist and have for 10 years with a variety of medical enterprises. I've worked with the AMA for a while, also as a public relations expert.
The American Medical Association.
No, sir, that was Medical Society of Annapolis, and also have done some work privately as a writer.
And you say black people bleach their skin, some of them, so they can get into parties?
No, no. What I meant was Michael Jackson bleaching his skin is not new. Many African Americans have bleached their skin so that they can... the term was called pass for white. And in that case, they can get... Yeah, they can get into parties. But the reason why they do it isn't so much to get a job. It's to go into the white world and see how whites live and then go back to where their people are from, and they tell tales around the kitchen table of the things that they've seen, of the wondrous things that they've experienced while in the land of the white man.
All right, I have the song that you requested, by the way.
Black or White.
Black or White by Michael Jackson. We'll play it in a moment here. 1-800-449-8686. Derek, hello, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Eric Hester.
Hey, how you doing?
Yes, sir, fine.
I'm on a cell phone, so if I break up, then my apologies.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to comment and state that I've seen a picture of Michael Jackson not too long ago, and I think he made the comment of Michael Jackson being the most handsome guy in America.
Center for Surgical Cosmetic Enhancement has determined that he is definitely he's got the most perfect face, Derek, of any man that we've seen.
Right. This guy seriously needs some help. He really does. I really can't agree with you there. Michael Jackson's face is really, really bad.
Well, I don't expect a man to understand the sex appeal that a Michael Jackson would have for a woman.
Right, but
what are you talking about? What do you mean his face is bad?
Well, his face looks bad.
We're not talking about a piece of fruit here. His face doesn't go bad because it was left out of the refrigerator. What do you mean?
No, what I mean is, this guy's face is deteriorating off. He doesn't have a face. He doesn't have a nose. This guy's nose just completely fell off.
Mr. Hester, what Derek is saying, and I think what a lot of us say, you're calling the most handsome man in the world Michael Jackson, whose nose is falling off.
Derek, Michael Jackson, and Mr. Henry, Michael Jackson's face is symmetrically perfect. Okay. I would ask you this, Derek. You're
okay.
A straight man. This would be no
right.
comment on you. Wouldn't you kiss his lips?
No, I would not, sir.
And
I would not kiss Michael Jackson's lips. And I'm sure the majority of Americans will take and idol his music, but as far as his face and features go, this guy really has caused a lot of damage on his face.
Well, what's wrong with his face?
I have to say, taking it from a straight man,
yes,
there was a lot of comments. I would think a lot of straight dudes would think that he was... You know, he was better looking during his younger days, but as of now, you know, whatever he's done with himself, I can't know. This guy seems to need help.
What specifically is wrong with his face? You said his nose
is doing... I don't know why he would go. I mean, if you remember his earlier days, he was darker, you know.
Yes,
but
yes.
Right now, his complexion, you know. He's just all off, bro. He's just all off.
And the nose, what specifically you mentioned his nose, though?
Oh, his nose is gone. He has no nose, bro. His nose is, if you look at it, it's like you can actually see the cosmetic falling off of that. Whatever they designed his nose with is just, it's horrible. You know, I mean,
you're saying the lips, or what's wrong with that?
And his eyes, if you look at his eyes, they look dead, bro. They actually look, he has no life in his eyes anymore.
You're saying that his nose is falling off.
What we're saying here, Mr. Hester, is the man that you call the most handsome face in America, his
right.
nose is falling off and he has dead eyes.
Yes, he does. I mean, it looks like if you ever took a skeleton and you looked at, you know, I can't put it in that terms, but this
guy,
he's a living skeleton, put it that way.
We put a lot of money into this survey.
You put a lot of money into this survey? Michael Jackson might as well be Mr. Potato Head with that nose falling off.
So you guys...
What we're saying, sir, is that I don't know who you surveyed.
We surveyed cosmetic surgeons.
Well, that's fine. What you ought to do is get out and talk to the rest of us. Michael Jackson's not only not handsome, he's frightening.
He's very frightening.
He's frightening.
You know, and I would not, I mean, right now, sir, if I had, you know, my kids, I have, you know, a one-year-old, and I have another one-year-old as well. I mean, not another one-year-old, but like a four-month-old. But, you know, if they were older and they met Michael Jackson, I would not allow my kids to go near
him.
Yeah,
they'd be scared of him, just like you.
They will be scared of him. They will really.
So you guys are saying, you realize that I make $75,000 a year.
Okay.
And you're telling me I'm doing a bad job.
No, you probably,
I'm not saying that you're doing a bad job, but the data that you're getting is inaccurate.
Well, you're telling me that I'm doing
on whose word are you getting this?
Well, if these guys tell me what to do, I come on the radio show and I do it. I'm a public relations guy. I don't know.
Well, do you think he's good looking?
What do I know from guys? I don't know what guys look like. I go home to my wife. I feed my. I don't know what you guys want
from
me.
So how can you honestly bat this guy? I mean, how can you honestly, like, how can I say it?
He looks fine to me, and...
You made the statement that you'd kiss his lips.
Right.
They tell me to say this stuff. I've...
They tell you to say it.
I'm sorry. So you're telling me he's ugly?
No, we just said, the guy's not only ugly, he's scary.
He's
scary.
Very scary.
If I saw him walking into my house on Halloween, I'd say, hey, take the mask off, and he wouldn't be able to.
Better yet, you know, Michael was very good at his prime. I'm not sure if you guys even listen to his music. I don't want to get off the subject.
I think
this guy just needs to fade away, basically. He just needs to fade away from the public eye because he's done with himself, as far as his career goes, it's just gone.
If he bleaches his skin anymore, he can fade a little bit more that way. But
Mr. Hester.
I guess I ought to go, huh?
Yeah, I think you ought to go. I think you ought to go. I think you're
You ought to go.
Yeah, go.
Yeah.
Okay, Derek, thank you. What is this? Turn that off. I'd kiss him on the lips. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the one and only Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show. Extreme Radio. one 800 449 8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
All right, and welcome to our radio show this hour, The Phil Henry Show. The voice of my guest, Eric Hester, was performed by me. And Michael Jackson's picture, you're just going to have to decide for yourself. You're going to have to find it, look at it, and decide for yourself. Is the guy's face falling off? 1-800-449-8686. Our website is philhenryshow.com. Speaking of websites, as you know, the day before yesterday, I spoke of a ex-coworker of mine, a colleague of mine, in the back in the day in rock and roll radio in the late 70s and early 80s in the city of Los Angeles. We worked together at a station called K-West. And later on, I got a letter from this guy, and he told me that he had had sex change surgery, and now he is a her. And her name is Fran Bennett, and it came out simply because a caller from the Bay Area of San Francisco called and said, oh yeah, we've listened to the Aunt Fran show, because she used to be Uncle Frank. So now he's Aunt Fran. So anyway, I posted Aunt Fran's picture on my scrapbook segment of the Phil Henry website, and underneath it I was linking what I thought was Aunt Fran's website. Well, little did I know, Aunt Fran's website is www.auntfran.com, not Fran Bennett. And when I hit Fran Bennett's website, I got some woman who sells real estate in Toronto, Canada. And listen to this, because I thought for a minute there I actually had...
Welcome to my website.
I thought I had...
I'm here to open the doors for you to real estate in Toronto.
I thought that was Frank's voice. Jesus.
Let me guide you through the process and put my experience to work for you.
I'm sitting there thinking, that's Frank. Where did he get the voice? And not only that, he looks like a 50, 60-year-old lady in a blazer. And she's selling real estate in Toronto. I'm all messed up. I'm all confused. You know who's more confused than people that are transgender? Their friends. Forget about how confused you are. How about laying that on one of your friends? You're out there and you're confused and you're not good in your skin and you want to be a girl or you want to be a guy. That's great. Go on out. Do whatever you need to do. Forget about the people who've been your friends for years. Never mind what you're doing to us. Never mind you're blowing our minds six ways to sunset. How the hell am I going to deal with that? So anyway, I'm trying to be supportive, and I linked, I thought, Aunt Fran's website. I got this Fran Bennett, and she sells real estate in Toronto, and she's playing What a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong, I think. All right, 1-800-449-8686. That's just a little Fran Bennett update for you guys, or as he, she likes to be known, Fran Bennett. Now, The Sopranos. There's an interesting editorial. ABC says, have The Sopranos lost their way? You know, the reason why this guy wrote this editorial is because The Sopranos last weekend had a very violent scene in which James Gandolfini's character, Tony Soprano, kills with his bare hands Ralph Cifaretto, played by Joe Pantaleone. Now, it's a really powerful scene. It wraps up a couple of loose ends having to do with Ralphie's character, but now here's a guy and other people, too, who are saying, gee, is it getting too violent on cable? And particularly, is it getting too violent on pay cable stations? Now, we got to have some place to go, folks. We got to have some place to go where we can watch what we want to watch. And if you don't want to watch it, you don't have to pay the subscription rate. But for you to critique the show based upon its violence, that's fine. I suppose you can. I suppose you can critique the show based upon what you think is bad plot. This guy's using violence as an excuse to criticize the show's lack of direction. Or maybe it's the other way around. Maybe he's using lack of direction to criticize the show's violence. But in any event, Sopranos is doing just fine. And if you want to start nitpicking what happened to all the loose ends and why doesn't the show look as good as it did in the first season, Sopranos looks better than it did in the first season. Better. First season, they were just testing the gas pedal. Second and third season and the fourth season, man, they've started to floor it a little bit. Last season and this season, especially since this Ralphie character came along, it's been dramatic, it's been exciting, it's been unpredictable. There have been fantastic storylines. Guy wants to know, what happened to the storyline with the Russian? Don't worry about it, baby. Maybe it'll come back. Maybe it'll come back next week. Maybe it'll come back in 3 weeks. How do you know the Russian even wants to get Polly and Christopher? Maybe he's scared to death of them. Maybe he's back in Russia. Maybe he doesn't want to mess around with La Cosa Nostra. Then he says, what happened to the storyline with Andrea turning to the FBI? Look, this stuff doesn't just happen overnight, man. Life doesn't happen in 60 minutes. You've been watching too much commercial television. That's your problem. Most of these TV writers, man, have been watching so much commercial TV that when we get a really good show like Sopranos that is a serialized program that doesn't have to get wrapped up in one season like Dallas, doesn't have to get wrapped up in one season like, I don't know, what's happening now, man? You know, what's like the new soap opera? There ain't no more soap operas, huh? 24, some bullcrap like that, which I know is brilliant and everything. You know, they take their time. They're violent when they need to be. They're unpredictable when they need to be. They got a fantastic cast of actors. They use them, I think, as well as they possibly can. They're also great. You want to have every character involved in some very heavy plot device every week. But, you know, Gandolfini's the star, so he's basically the guy that's in the middle of all of that stuff. They're not doing it like a commercial TV show. Thank you, Jesus, that they're not. Hey, you know, how come you don't wrap up this plot line having to do with, and what about this one? And Junior's, his fraud trial isn't as great as it used to be. Well, yeah, you're right. You know, the guys can't hit a home run every time. Just like you guys that write these reviews for, you know, for TV and movies. It's a little tough reading your stuff sometimes, too. You know what I'm saying? Because the show ain't like AA++, and it maybe hit a B+ rating every now and again, the show's losing its way. Just come out and say it, man. You didn't like seeing Ralphie get murdered and decapitated by the mafia last weekend. Just come out and say it. Just say it like a man. It really upset you, it was really scary, and you don't want to watch that show anymore. That's fine. Don't watch it anymore, okay? Don't use your position as a TV critic to get involved in some phony discourse about a show losing its way simply because you're put off by a program trying to be real to what it is. It's a show about the mafia. I'll tell you what was scary about last week's show. I'll tell you what disturbed this guy, what disturbed Maria and I. It wasn't so much that he killed Ralphie, which was kind of tough to see because the guy's character was very interesting. And it wasn't even so much as he brought Christopher over there to start dismembering the body. The thing that was upsetting was to see a character, a person that you know, his head cut off, and they're putting it into a bowling bag. That's rough. Somebody you know, suddenly their head is like not on their body, and it's getting stuffed into a bowling bag. That's a shock. You know, it's a shocking device, if you will. And I'm sure that's why David, whatever the hell his name is, David Chase, did it. And good for you, man. Should I read this email from the lady, or should I save it for the rant hour? This is from the soccer. Save it for the rant hour, Janice? All right. I got a fantastic, if you're still around with us next hour, I got something that you'll love. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show here. Our website is philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. And when you go there, get your backstage pass, because all of the classic audio that we got on our website can only be availed if you have a backstage pass. And the way to get a backstage pass is to, you know, sign up for one. You can also get our 30-day archives, our daily comedy archives, and everything else that is involved in that, including a lot of the video. We've got that Raj Fanin video that's been put up. And what that is a video of me 12 years ago with makeup on, pretending I'm Raj Fanin, with a helmet that I can't keep on my head. And it's kind of a kooky little thing. It's sort of, it's just kind of a period piece. 12 years ago, back in the day. And we've got all of the interviews we've done. That's all, you know, you can get that if you have a backstage pass. So grab that. Go to our souvenir shop. We also have a daily diary, and there's a few things that are coming up. First off, the 22nd to the 24th, the website's going to be absolutely free. You don't have to have a backstage pass to access the audio and video of the 22nd to the 24th. And on Thanksgiving weekend, that is the 28th and 29th, Thanksgiving, the day after, we're featuring here on the radio show and on our website, of course, if you're listening live, a Bobby Dooley Marathon. 6 hours of Bobby and Steve Dooley and all of the vile and horrific things that they do there at Western Estates. And then on December the 20th, it is our webcast, our second annual webcast, where we not only are broadcasting our show, we're also webcasting the show and our show prep before. So check it all out there on philhendryshow.com and here on The Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. Extreme Radio. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Part 9 in our 12-part series, Highway Safety and You. Now, Bob, you were hearing what I said yesterday about people in the fast lane.
Yes, sir.
And you had something you wanted to comment on.
Phil, I get into the fast lane, and I do 55. It's my way of making sure people are doing the speed limit. There's nothing wrong with helping the police and slowing people down.
Even though you're making people angry?
Well, like I said, I heard what you said yesterday about being angry at people in the fast lane who go slow, but there is another side, if I could tell a story.
You purposefully go slow, though, huh?
Well, there is another side, though.
All right. Now, you work as a grocery store manager, right?
Yes. I work as a grocery store manager at Fraser Foods in Buena Park. And for 8 hours a day, my job, Phil, I could sum it up in a few words. It's like cleaning out a cat litter box. That never gets clean. I'm constantly cleaning up a mess. There's a customer that has a problem. There's an employee that has a problem. There's merchandise that isn't stocked right, or there's a spill. And I'm married to a woman who I love with all of my heart, but she's a handful too. I get home, she's demanding. Right now we're remodeling our home, and I'm stressing. So when I drive home at night, I've got an opportunity to unwind and relax and to enjoy myself.
All right, and so you do it by getting over into the fast lane and slowing down.
Well, first of all...
See, that's... Boy, I tell you...
No, I gathered it made you angry. That's why I wanted to respond. See, first of all, making people slow down can't be a bad thing. And there's this thing, you might have heard about it. It's called speed kills. You heard about that?
Yes, I've heard about speed kills. I've heard with the Highway Patrol about speed kills.
Well, I say that to make this point. People don't know that I'm doing them a favor. When they pull into their driveway at night and they sit down for a meal, they don't know that it's me to thank for slowing it down in the fast lane so they actually got home.
But you said to me, and you said to my audience, it's to help you unwind. You use this method of slowing down in traffic and making people angry to enjoy yourself.
It's to unwind, yeah.
But you're unwinding, you're relaxing. Do you put on music?
I turn on the radio, yeah. I put on, I like to put on Coast, which is one of the adult music stations. I get into the fast lane, I slow down. It's enjoyable for me. I'm not hurting anybody. It's my way.
Do you like making people angry?
I don't like making people angry. I have some fun. I have a little bit of fun.
You have fun slowing down in the fast lane.
I got to admit, I have fun with people. I drive slowly on the freeway. They get upset. They like to look at you. A lot of them try and tailgate. And when they do that, I slow down a little bit more. First instance, when they flash their brights, what I have is a piece of cloth that I drop down over the rearview mirror. And if they honk, I wave. It's just fun for me.
You know, you're making people angry when you do that. And driving slowly in the fast lane is an anger produced. First of all, the fast lane is a passing lane. It's a lane that people ought to be allowed to just sail down, whether they're going fast or not. When you're over in the far left lane, going slowly, you're making people angry.
I know, that's what you said yesterday, but I realize that, it's fun to see them get mad, and they're not really going to do anything about it. I'm not breaking any laws. I'm just having fun.
You could make somebody angry enough to get violent, and we have had freeway shootings.
Well, what I do, if someone's tailgating me, and they're honking, and they get angry, and I know they're getting angry, I smile at them and I wave it in the mirror, and sometimes I do a little zigzag in front of them, and I basically tell them to go around me on the right side, and sometimes if they go around on the right, I pretend like I'm, you know, changing lanes too.
To further piss them off?
Well, no, not to... I pretend like I'm changing lanes, but I get back. So, no, what I do is I smile, I wave at them.
Do you move over, sir?
No, I do not.
So what you're saying to me is you're telling them, hey, hi, how you doing? I'm going to stay in this lane, but you go around me on the right.
Yeah, basically.
Okay, so what you're doing, and at the end of a workday, when everybody else may have had a bad day too, you're possibly making people very angry just so you can, as you say, relax. You sit in your car, you put on music, do you smoke?
I unfortunately, yes, I do.
So you light up a cigarette?
I have a cigarette, I put on some music, and I relax. And I just let out a big exhale of air, and I stay in the fast lane. I slow it down.
And how is this relaxing for you?
I guess you could say it's. I like to see people get upset. It's funny. I think it's funny the way people are, and it's fun for me. I get a laugh out of it. I get a chuckle out of it. It's not going to kill them. They're not going to get a bad disease. Their kids aren't going to die. They just have to go slower, and it's. It's crazy to watch how crazy they get. And I look in the rearview mirror, I see a guy behind me. One guy, it was about 3 days ago, I was coming home, Phil, and he's doing the lights thing. And I don't know if you've ever seen people, they blink their lights on and off in the fast lane. And so what I did is I started a brake. And I was popping my brakes. And that he'd come up and
you're German braking the guy?
No, it's not a German brake. German brake is a full stop where you're going to make the guy hit you. What I do is I just hit my... Every time he hit the brights, I hit my brake lights. I know you're saying that it makes people angry, but really, it doesn't hurt them at all. I just blink my lights back when they do that.
All right, Robert, you're an interesting guy. You're the kind of guy that makes me angry in traffic. Robert Green here, he's a motorist who comes home from his job at night, and the way he relaxes is he gets into the fast lane and slows down. And watches people get angry, and watches people get bent out of shape, and...
Well, nobody has gotten so bent out of shape, Mr. Henry, that they've threatened me with violence.
No, I'm sure they haven't. They go around you?
They go around me.
But you have said it's relaxing and fun for you to piss people off.
You know something? You use the word piss people off.
It's relaxing for you.
Well, you use the phrase piss people off, but I think I'm helping them, and I don't really care if they get pissed off. I'm helping them.
You don't care if they get angry, and you're helping them by making them slow down.
That's right. I don't really care if they get mad.
What if they got so angry that somebody pulled a gun?
It wouldn't bother me because I'm pretty quick. I could maneuver through traffic pretty fast and get away from somebody like that. And anybody that did that, I'll tell you this much, he better shoot to kill, because if he doesn't, I'm going to be his worst nightmare. And I'm saying that very seriously.
Okay, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, Robert Greene, motorist. He gets in the fast lane and goes pretty slow. And we do have the issue of a Robin Porter I'm going to get into here from Canoga Park.
I want to talk about it, but let me just say this. My job, Phil, I'm helping cops. I'm helping a lot of people. Being the manager of a grocery store...
You're going to tell me how tough your job is.
No, but being the manager of a grocery store is like running a daycare center. The customers are babies. The checkers aren't too bright. The bag boys are strictly from hunger. Someone's always got the frozen OJ out, and they're moving items around. So when I get off the job, I got a little bit of fun out on the freeway. I call it a little payback for the living hell that I've been put through. That's all I'm talking about. It's a little bit of payback for the hell that my job as a grocery store manager puts me through. So if I go slow in the fast lane, big deal.
All right, you know Robin Porter of Canoga Park?
I know, and that woman is crazy.
Well, she didn't think it was funny. She miscarried on the side of the freeway because you were playing your games. She didn't make it to a hospital.
All right, Mr. Andrew, I got to tell you right now, you need to govern yourself because my attorney is on this case, and I don't want to have to include you in a slander suit. I am suing her for slander. I was having some fun in the fast lane.
You were having some fun in the fast lane, and when that woman tried to get over to exit, you moved in front of her and wouldn't let her exit.
Well, maybe you can make a sign and sell them on your show, a sign that a woman could put up in her car and say, I'm pregnant, I'm trying to get to the hospital. Because, Mr. Henry, I don't read minds. You know, my name isn't Miss Cleo. My name is Bob Green. I manage a grocery store. I could have let her get over. My attorney is responding to hers, and I can say this, Miss Porter, if you're listening, I would rather go to hell and live there as Satan's sexual slave than give you one nickel in this frivolous claim.
You admitted that you moved over and wouldn't let her get off the freeway.
I was having a couple of laughs, and if she was pregnant, she should have let me know.
How is she going to let you know? She's pregnant. She's racing to the hospitals. First of all, she didn't even have her husband with her.
I don't know how she's going to let me know. But that's her responsibility. The onus is on her. I mean, she could have pointed to her stomach. She could have, whatever.
She lost a baby.
Don't put that on me. And again, watch how you talk, because I will sue. I'm suing everybody on this one. Anybody that even comes close to inferring that I caused the death of a child, I will sue them until they bleed. I'm suing everybody. I'm having a little bit of fun, and people want to call me a baby killer. That ain't going to go.
All right, sir. I'm not calling you that. I'm just quoting this.
Yeah, well, then watch it. And I don't mean to threaten you, sir, but I would ask you to be careful.
All right, I'm going to watch it. I'm not trying to call you a baby killer. I realize it's still being litigated. This is the kind of guy, though. I was talking about this last night. Anyway, this man's name is Robert Green, and he relaxes after a long day at work by getting into the fast lane and slowing down so that he is basically causing people to slow down along with him. He's also being sued by a Ms. Robin Porter. She claims that because he wouldn't let her off the freeway playing his games, she didn't make it to the hospital and she miscarried on the side of the road. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry. surgery. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, Robert Green is with me. And Robert, you took exception to something I said yesterday on the show about fast lanes and how people who drive slow in the fast lane, I don't like them. And you say that you have a citizen's duty to slow people down.
I absolutely do, Phil. I think that's a big part of slowing down in the fast lane. I like the idea that I can control the speed of other people. I like that. I like the idea that people are not going to break the law when I am when I'm driving in the fast lane. I like the idea that I can make them do what I want them to do, because I have a long day at work and a lot of it. And I'll tell you, I try making driving alongside Bob Green at night a fun experience. I put tails coming out of my trunk, hula girls in the rear window and bumper stickers. My favorite stunt is sitting in the passenger seat and steering so it looks like there's no driver in. I've done that. I do a lot of things because it helps me unwind. But the one thing I don't do is kill children. I don't kill any children.
I'm just saying the woman claimed she had a miscarriage because you wouldn't let her off the freeway to get to the hospital.
I don't kill. She had a miscarriage because she doesn't have a sense of humor and she was too dumb to put a sign up to tell me she was pregnant.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Donna on the Phil Henry Show with Robert Green.
I just wanted to see if he would realize that other people rush their children and family members to the hospital without an ambulance.
Well, then you can go in the other lane. Why do you got to come in my lane?
Why do you have to hold up the center lane or the passing lane when that's what it's for and the whole rest of the United States pays attention to that except for you?
No, I'm not the only one that goes slow in the fast lane.
You're the only one rude enough not to move over and allow someone to go through. It might be an emergency. You never know.
Well, that's what a lot of people say, but I think...
Well, a lot of people might be right, you know?
Well, I think it's a load because not everybody could have an emergency.
Not everybody, but there's always that one case like someone having a miscarriage now, right?
All right, well, then I would suggest, and I've suggested this to Mr. Henry, if you could get a sign that says I'm taking
the
kids to the hospital.
Well, are they supposed to manufacture the sign while they're driving?
You could go to Home Depot.
Not by Walmart?
You can go to Home Depot. You can get those metal letters, and you can make a sign. I'm taking
the kids. Right, and by that time, the baby's already dead because she had a miscarriage.
How's that?
Move your butt over.
I don't understand why. What do you mean the baby's already dead?
Well, let's see. The time it takes to stop and get some letters, who's going to plan ahead for a miscarriage or a baby with RSV that's lungs are shut down?
You can pick up one on your way to the hospital.
Right, that makes a lot of sense.
Have you ever heard of a Sharpie and a notebook? Thank you.
Have you ever heard of one person driving?
Thank you. Have you? I'm sorry?
One person driving, you can't make a sign.
Mr. Green, what are you suggesting?
I'm simply saying that you can't just blame me for maintaining the flow of traffic and going slow. We got people killing each other out there on the freeways, and somebody's going to bust my balls because I'm going slow? How does a sick kid make the sign? Or you say the kid's going to the hospital, right?
The kid usually is less than 2 years old that has RSV.
What's RSV?
It is respiratory syncytial virus.
Do you have a daughter or a child with that, Donna?
I do not, but I'm a neonatal nurse who's seen a lot of it.
Oh, and all of a sudden the kid can't breathe, or like an
right.
asthma or something?
Right.
It's like an asthma attack, Mr. Green.
It's much worse.
What about them pumps, the pump deal they have?
Wait a minute, why do we have to explain to you? Just move your car over. What do you mean make a sign and get a pump and get letters at the Home Depot and have the kids scrawl it on a notebook? Move your car over. Don't you think that the survival of a child is more important than you having your jollies?
You know something, Donna and Mr. Henry? You may think it's serious that your child has a disease, and it is. It's also serious that I work 8 hours a day in a hellhole.
Oh, my God. You know what? Turn your two-week notice in. Go to school and be something else that you don't like, if you don't like what you're doing. If you don't like your wife, get a divorce.
I like my job.
Well,
I like
it sounds
food.
Like you don't.
I like food. I don't like the people with their screaming and crying about this, that, and something else. Hey,
guess
what?
That's all over everywhere.
Well, let me ask you something, Donna. I don't know what you do. Well, you're a nurse, right?
Yes, I am.
Every day I got this. Can you tell me where the... graham cracker crumbs are. Why would I know where that is?
Well, because
you're the manager.
You're long enough to know.
Yeah, you're the manager of the store.
That's right. I worked in a grocery store. I can tell you where anything
was.
No,
what I'm saying is, ma'am, the stupidest questions. Do you have toilet bowl brushes? Do you have, you know where house... To me, I love to be done with the food, with the vegetables. I love to be oiling the cukes. I love to be putting out the corn.
So resign your position and step down to just the grocery manager. I mean,
well,
the
that's right.
Produce
why don't you,
manager.
Why don't you become the produce manager, okay?
I got to take a cut in pay.
So in other words, so that we can make sure you have a great salary, we got to sit there and make signs to tell you to get over because you're... I don't believe this.
Well, you don't believe it, Mr. Henry, because you got the bully pulpit of a talk show, and you can say, hey, get out of the fast lane. Before I started my fun on the way home, I used to get home and push my wife around. I ended up in jail for domestic violence. I need this. I need this.
Hey, I got an idea. Get on some Paxil instead. It'll improve your whole life.
Oh, get you. You're a nurse and you know all those big names, huh?
I know enough to know that you're an idiot. Yes, sir?
You got to be an idiot. You're pushing your wife around, so you got convicted of domestic violence.
Yes, I did. I got 30 days.
30 days in jail. In jail for pushing a woman around. So now, because you don't want to go back to jail, you're going to go slow in the fast lane.
Oh, so I'm supposed to go back to jail and put up with that again, too?
No, you don't have
to. You need to see an analyst.
An analyst?
An analyst.
Maybe you should take some Allegra.
All right, pal.
Well?
Allegra? That is allergy medicine.
All right, I just thought I'd throw it out there. Well, you know all the big words.
Well, right. Maybe if you'd go to school and do something other than being a grocery store manager, you'd know some words, too.
Well, ma'am,
other than stopping in the middle, slowing down in the middle of the road.
At least I'm not calling up talk shows and throwing out the big words like Paxil.
Paxil's not a very big word. It's only five letters.
Yeah, Paxil is a very common drug.
Well, what about a neonatal nurse? Are you going to explain what that is? Were you going to do that anytime today?
Neonatal, that's self-explanatory. I take care of the little bitty tiny babies.
Brent.
Little bitty tiny babies. Well, now, what do we got here? Giant with Rock Hudson? I am trying to get home to my wife in the safest way possible.
You know, you keep going back between safe and then having fun. And then safe and then having fun. Which is it? Are you safe or are you having fun?
Mr. Henry, I said I like the idea of slowing people down, okay? And also, it's fun.
It's, all right. Donna, thank you so much.
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686.
Hey, I haven't shoved my wife's face up against the piano for 3 months ever since I started driving 48 to 55 miles an hour in a fast lane. And I think it bears repeating. My wife and I have a great relationship today. Based upon the fact that I can do this, I can put up with anything from that you-know-what. And I love her. And it's probably some of the best sex I've ever had. And I can put up with anything from her because I get to do this.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Robert Greene, who slows down in the fast lane on his way home because it's fun and because he likes to control traffic.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Extreme Radio.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
Robert Greene is with me. He's a grocery store manager from Buena Park who is involved in a lawsuit. And I'm not going to get into the particulars, Mr. Greene. You are being accused of causing a miscarriage by a woman on the side of the freeway. What freeway was this?
I'm not going to comment on this case, Mr. Henry. If you want news, you can get it off of the news.
All right, well, I can find out. It was the 405, Janice? Thank you. It was on the 405 freeway in Garden Grove. Now, you fax to me, you say that slowing down in the fast lane makes you relax.
I've said that several times, yes, sir.
All right, and you fax to me ways that you relax on your way home and ways that you say, quote, I give people a laugh and help them relax too. You write down...
Now, these are things that I faxed over to your producer because she asked me for examples. Just so you understand.
I understand that. You turn your lights off while you're in the fast lane until somebody gets up close to you, then you turn them on all at once.
That's correct.
You have mounted on the roof of your car high beam utility halogen lights that you turn on the high beam when someone goes by you in the right-hand lane.
Yeah, you're saying this like this is bad.
No, I just want to know. You hang out of the driver's side window as if you've been shot. So there's nobody basically controlling your car for a few feet.
I do it for a couple of seconds.
you put a mask on, a rubber Halloween mask on backwards, so it looks like somebody's got their heads turned around.
That's correct. On Halloween, I did that.
And the one that I think is the most juvenile of all, you push a mannequin's head up. You push a mannequin's head up and down in your lap as if you're being...
having sex, yeah.
This is everything that you do when you're driving home to give people a laugh.
Yes, sir, and keep in mind, if it doesn't give you a laugh, it doesn't mean it isn't funny. So you're not the arbiter of everything that's funny.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Bruce. Go ahead.
I just wanted to know if this guy was really a joker or if this was for real, because what I personally think is they ought to take his license away from him and never let him near another vehicle again as long as he lives.
Have you been cited, Mr. Green?
No, sir, I've not.
You've never been cited by the police?
Well, I was cited for the incident involving Ms. Porter. They cited me for illegal lane change. They didn't cite me for her kid coming out bad the way it did.
Her kid coming out bad. Well, it was a miscarriage.
Yeah, I understand that. Is that all this guy wants to say?
Don't worry, I can be the host of the show. Bruce, are you?
Yeah, I'm here.
Did you have another comment?
If that's all he's got to say, I can take another call.
I'm saying the man is sick, and I hope to someday that I can find him side of the road. I'm a professional driver, and maybe with a little luck, we can run him off into the ditch and never have to worry about him again.
Or is he a guy that doesn't like to have a couple of laughs?
No, I have my laughs. I enjoy my life. I'm a professional driver, and I don't want to put up with idiots like you in the road. You shouldn't be driving. You're a hazard. They should put you back in jail and let you stay there.
All I do is slow down so that you guys don't go too fast in the fast lane.
Well, as we find out, that's not all you do. You hang out the window. You put on backwards masks. You got mannequin heads going up and down. You turn your lights off. What if somebody were to hit you?
I made my comment. The man is sick. He shouldn't have his license.
Bruce, you said you're a professional driver.
The only reason you haven't got caught is because the police can't see you down in your vehicle doing stuff like that.
Well,
I can see the stuff from the...
You say that you're a professional driver.
I'm a professional driver.
Okay, how fast can you deliver that pizza?
I'm a truck driver, and I drive the speed limit. My truck drives the speed limit, okay? I stay with traffic.
Okay, so do I.
I know you don't. You get out there in the middle of the lane, out in the fast lane, and slow everybody down. It's a hazard.
You said you're causing a problem. 48 miles an hour.
It's a 65-mile-an-hour zone out there. What are you doing 48 miles an hour?
They tell you you're allowed within 20 miles.
You shouldn't be out there.
If it says 65, you're allowed to go 45 in the fast lane.
That's baloney, and you know it.
That's baloney. There's a law against going too slow, and it's a wonder you haven't got a citation. I know states that would pull you over and give you a citation.
Look, Bruce, if you were behind me, I would have some fun with you. I'd weave around, and then if you tried to get around me, I'd move my car in front, just stuff like that.
Okay, I understand. I hope that someday you get into a bunch of truck drivers that decide that they don't want to have you on the road anymore, because we communicate back and forth, and one of these days you'll find out just how well they do communicate, and they'll put you in the ditch.
What are you trying to pull anyway? Are you threatening me?
Where do you live? I'll come find you.
Well, wait a minute. I'm just trying to have a couple of laughs here. You want to come and beat me up?
Yes, he does. I would, too.
Yes, I would. I would beat you up, and I'd know half the industry out here would love to just run you over and put you in a pothole and leave you there forever. That's where you belong.
All I'd do if you drove by me in your truck is I'd weave a little bit, just to see how well control of the truck you've got.
Well, put it this way. What did your car weigh? 4,000 pounds?
My favorite thing to do with guys who drive 18 wheels is to pass them and then pretend I see a kitty in the road and hit the brakes.
Good luck.
Good
luck. Goodbye.
See ya. Let's go over here now to 1-800-449-8686. Jimmy, go ahead. Jimmy, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Robert Green.
Yes, sir.
Buddy, you have all the makings and all of the intentions and your so-called sense of humor of a serial killer.
You have
all the profile of a serial killer, and you've been convicted of beating up your wife.
Well, wait a second. I would ask you to be careful, because if you slander me, I'm already...
Let me say this right now. Buddy, I'll give you my name, number, address, whatever you want. If you want to try to sue me, by all means, please try and sue me. You are an idiot. You deserve to have your license taken away. And yes, you are a baby killer. Just like so many people want to tell
you're
you,
calling me a baby
and so many people want to say,
man.
You are a baby killer.
All right, so
plain and simple.
I could sue you for slander, but you know what?
I don't care if you want to sue me for slander.
You
by all means, try.
Well, you,
by
the
all
lady.
Means, try.
You
buddy,
would,
you deserve
you, I mean,
to have every bit of your privileges, road privileges, driving privileges taken away.
I want to be very clear.
Forever.
You're calling me a baby killer.
Yes,
that's
I am calling you a baby killer.
You're
if
saying
you
that
want to
I
try to sue me, by all means, please try and sue me, buddy.
You're going
to find out after everything that you just said on this show and everything that's been documented, when you go to court, you're going to look like a total idiot.
You're saying that I killed a baby.
Yes.
I'm saying, yes, that you killed a baby by your little joking around and by your little stupid-ass comments that you said on this radio show.
What I'm
you get your jollies off on other people's misery.
What I'm trying to determine, though, I want you to spit it out. What are you saying?
I'm sorry. I wasn't clear enough. You're an idiot. That's what I'm saying.
No, you,
you have all the makings of a serial killer. You have all the intentions of a serial killer.
You're saying, though, that I was responsible for what?
A baby dying. Didn't you hear the man?
Are you? You know what? This is the last time.
Wait a minute.
Ready. Whatever you're using.
Okay.
Whatever,
wait, hold on. Let me turn it on.
You are a baby killer. I hope you got it that time because I'm
on.
Not going to repeat it.
Well, sir,
you're an idiot. You deserve to have your license taken away. And it's people like you that ends up getting shot every day, buddy. And let me tell you something. It's coming. It's coming very soon. After all the comments you just made on the radio and everybody that's heard it. It's coming very soon. Your day is coming very soon.
I can either drive slowly on the freeway or bludgeon my wife with a crock pot. Now, what do you want? Which one?
I want you to go and see a therapist, get some counseling, do whatever you have to do to get all these intentions out of your head.
Sir, you
need to be on some heavy medication.
Sir, I'm having a
There's
couple
something
of
wrong with you. Stop. There is something seriously wrong with you.
You know, it wouldn't be so bad if nobody got hurt. That woman's miscarriage on the side of the road, that was...
Okay, there you go. See, now you guys, you want a slander lawsuit, don't you? This guy
yeah,
wants one.
I want you to try to make yourself look like an idiot.
All right, say
yes,
it again.
I do.
Say it
I
again.
I want you to try and sue me to make yourself look like a total
right.
idiot in front of the court,
the
in front of your
button.
Wife, in front of all your friends.
Exactly.
I doubt you have any friends.
Exactly.
All right. I guess he's not going to want me to say this.
What?
The record button stuck. Could you say it again?
Say what again?
The record button stuck on my tape recorder.
Buddy, you are the biggest idiot I have ever seen in my life.
What do you want him to say again?
You want to try to say that you're recording this and your record button stuck and all this. You're just, you need some serious medication, some serious therapy. Something is definitely,
hey,
there's a screw.
You're calling me a serial killer. I don't pee in my bed. I didn't set fire to Pappy's barn, and I don't stick pencils in Fluffy's ass. Now, that's
no, you just beat up your wife and kill babies
right.
on the highway.
Right.
That's what you do.
Ooh, you did it again. You called me a baby killer. You did it again. All right, what's your last name?
Don't do it, Jimmy. Don't even do it.
You aren't worth the time of day, buddy.
Don't give him your last name. Don't do it.
All right, Mr. Henry, I'll put you in the suit then.
Go ahead. You can sue me. I'm indemnified. Don't give him anything, Jimmy. I'll take the lawsuit.
Don't give me anything, Jimmy. I'll take the lawsuit.
There's no lawsuit.
Real big man, aren't you?
This guy, he's sitting there threatening everybody, and he knows damn well that if he tries to carry this to court, then he'll be laughed at. He'll be completely laughed at. He has said on the radio all these things that he gets off on and everything, and no court in the world would convict somebody for calling this man a baby killer.
How did I kill somebody by hanging out the driver's side window and pretending I was shot?
You know, you could kill somebody. If you ever lost control of that car with you hanging out the driver's side window pretending you're shot, somebody, that car, all it has to do is hit a bump in the road, man.
That
get all you guys.
Illegal.
What do you guys think this
you
is?
You talk about you don't break any laws. What you just said is illegal.
What? Did I hang out the window?
That's called reckless driving, you idiot.
Look, you and I both know you truckers pop a rack of bennies to keep yourselves awake at night. What kind of car do you drive?
Look, I am not a trucker. I am a private citizen. I drive a pickup truck. I'm curious, too. Please answer this question for me. I'm
sure.
just curious.
Sure.
How old are you?
I just turned 37.
37-year-old man.
37 years old. You have all the makings of a serial killer.
What kind of car do you drive?
I got a silver Porsche Boxster.
A Porsche Boxster? Jesus, buddy. That's a valuable car. You're driving down the road hanging out the window. You got tails coming out of the trunk. You got hula girls on mud flaps. You got a mask on backwards, and you got a mannequin going up and down in the seat. And you're driving the thing from the passenger side to make it look like there's no guy driving it. All for a couple of giggles because you hate your job in a grocery store.
You got it there. You just laid the whole thing out. Thank you. Saves me a lot of breath.
Quit your gig,
other
man.
Question, Robert, please. Please answer this other
Jimmy,
question.
Jimmy, you see me drive
honestly.
Down the street with a ball
Do you have any kids?
I can guarantee you this. If you see me drive down the street with a blow-up doll's legs wrapped around my neck, you'll laugh. Won't you?
Oh, I would laugh.
There you go.
You think I would laugh at something like that?
Sure you would.
Buddy, I think you're sick. You are completely sick.
All right.
And you need medication.
Can you recommend a doctor?
All right, Jimmy, forget it. The guy's messing with you.
Look, you're not worth your time today, Robert. I hope
Paxel was
about
the last
funeral
one
sometime soon.
Right,
goodbye.
Thanks very much.
Guy's not even a trucker.
So?
Sounded like one.
All right, I don't know if we want to keep going with phone calls.
Why not?
Oh, you're having a good time, are you?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you like just screwing with people? Is that what you're doing? You screw with them on the highways, mess with them on the freeway, screw with them on my radio show? The only place you don't screw with them is in your grocery store, do you? Because you get fired there.
Look, I'm entitled to have a couple of...
Why don't you mess with them in your grocery store? When I walk up to you and I say, where are the graham cracker crumbs? You can point me in the direction of the tampons. How about that?
I've done that.
I'll bet you have done that. Glenn, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine, sir.
You know, I had a couple of comments as I was sitting here waiting. This guy, I can't even believe he has the audacity to get on the telephone here like this. Now, obviously, he's missed his calling. He should either become a cop or a comedian.
Wait a minute.
One of the two. What's he doing in the grocery store?
Well, let me ask you something. How come I can't slow people down? They're not supposed to be speeding anyway.
Okay, that's what I said. You should have became a cop, not a grocery store manager.
I don't want to be a cop. I just want to make... I want to do...
You're obviously you want to be a cop.
I want to do my...
You want to obey the law? Is that what you're not saying here?
As a good citizen and just slow people down. Let me tell you, what's your name? Glenn,
my name's Mad Dog, a.k.a. Mad Dog.
Oh, what's that supposed to mean?
Up here in Canada.
What's that supposed to mean? What, you going to come gunning for me up there in Canada?
No, I don't gun for nobody. I just go to work and live life and enjoy my family.
And I don't
beat my wife.
Tell me.
So the other guy called you a bait. You know, I'm going to let me speak or what?
Well, I just
had your talk here.
Hey, cop uniforms make me look fat, all right?
Well, you know what?
Jesus.
The other guy called you a baby killer. Maybe he's wrong, but you know what? You're a woman beater. You're a woman beater.
Okay,
obviously,
that's slander.
That's slander.
No, it is not slander. You got
beaten your old lady.
Yeah, you got arrested for that.
If you get convicted for beating your wife,
that's none of your business.
Yes or no?
It's a matter of public
record.
You
already
said it. The answer
is
yes. Yeah.
Okay, look.
That's right.
I'll give you the same choice I gave the other guy. Do I get to slow down in traffic, or do I go home and put my wife through a window?
That's what the other guy told you. Maybe you need to get some therapy.
I don't need any therapy. I just want to have some fun in traffic.
What a special wife. Oh, your wife, man, I'll tell you. She's a special lady.
She's a special lady to put up with you. Glenn, you wouldn't laugh if you saw me driving down the road with a blow-up doll's legs wrapped around my face.
As a matter of fact, you know what? I love to laugh.
Okay.
I really love to laugh.
Ain't that up?
But you're telling me you're slowing people down for safety reasons.
Right.
And you're sitting in the passenger seat of your car. And you're talking about safety? You couldn't spell safety. That's why you're a grocery store manager.
Oh, so you got something wrong with those guys. If it wasn't for me, you guys would starve.
I have nothing wrong with nobody. You're the guy with the problem with everybody. That's why you slow everybody down.
Yeah, well, if you want to have a couple of giggles, go to your job, and when they go to the cucumbers, you can say, hey, it looks like you can get friendly with something like that, okay?
And I'd get fired.
And you'd get fired. Out on the road, though, when I don't have to deal with you, I got to sit behind you with a blow-up doll's legs wrapped around your face.
It's funny.
It ain't funny to me, man, when I'm trying to get home. Thank you very much, Glenn.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Glenn.
What's that supposed to mean?
I like the way you sound so professional and stuff. Thank you very much, Glenn.
You're a baby killer.
All right, I'm suing.
Go ahead, sue me. And also, I hope the next time you pull a stunt like that, that you lose control of your car, it goes through three medians and bursts into flames far away from anybody else that may be on the road.
And you find that funny?
As I was saying it, I was very amused by it. I hope your car sails over two medians, clears all the traffic, lands in a huge empty lot, and bursts into flames like something out of The Fall Guy.
I'll have my attorney get in touch with you first thing in the morning.
That's terrific. What's that?
Well, I did want to say that attempt at that cucumber joke. Why don't you try again, Carrot Top?
One 800 449 8686. You're listening to the one and only Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. Extreme Radio. One 800 449 8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right. By the way, the voice there performed by what's his name, Bob Green. That was me doing the voice of our guest, Bob Green. He doesn't exist. He never did. But in my mind, he does, and in my heart, he does, and in your minds and hearts, he will forever. He's our grocer, our green grocer, who likes to go out there on the freeway and act like an utter jackass. And if I ever run into him, then I'll know I'm nuts. Because he don't exist. But the people who called in thought he did. And that's all that counts. We make dreams come true. We make fantasies come alive on this radio show, man. You think anybody appreciates that? You think anybody knows the genius of this program? You bet they do. All right, 1-800-449-8686. This could only be the Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. Extreme Radio.
We received this email today from a mother in, I believe it's Rancho Cucamonga, California. And that is a kind of a funny name for those of you listening outside of California, but it actually is a town, Rancho Cucamonga. I'm sure it's an Indian name of some kind. The email was submitted to us by Jody, and I don't believe there is a last name, correct? I don't believe there's a last name. She does have her home telephone number here, and here are her comments. Dear sirs, we need your help in Rancho Cucamonga. My children are in the AYSO soccer organization. This week, the organization breached their contract with hundreds of parents in our division, leaving many children in tears. On Tuesday, November 12th, AYSO decided to cancel our last game on the 23rd of November due to the reason they wanted to start playoff games early. But doing so, many teams will not be allowed to participate in playoffs due to AYSO regulations. Our contract with the AYSO says 10 games and the playoffs. They decided, without any parental approval, to cut it to 9 games. Each team is responsible for having a volunteer ref 7 games in order for the team to participate in the playoffs. By canceling the 10th game, which many teams counted on as their 7th refereed game to go to the playoffs, many teams will now not be going to the playoffs. There was no reason to cancel the 10th game. When parents started to complain and ask for refunds, we were denied. Our children looked forward to these games, and for the board of directors to make changes in the middle of the season is outrageous. AYSO's motto is that they are there for the children. Their motto is wrong. We have team members, children, in tears over this. Any help you can give us would be appreciated. Please help us help the children. Thank you. Jody Fibro. Oh, there's her last name, Jody Fibro. Well, Jody, we'd like to say that we congratulate AYSO for canceling that playoff game, and we hope that the kids don't get to play that final game. As a matter of fact, we congratulate the AYSO just because we don't like letters like yours. And I'm sure it's not going to kill the little brats, and we'd much rather them be playing baseball, football, basketball, or hockey, not that funky, funky soccer. Way to do it, AYSO. Go ahead and cancel the whole freaking season as far as we're concerned. And if they're not giving you a refund, well, ain't that just too bad? I guess you'll have to cancel the awning this year, or I don't know, maybe those designer sunglasses. Maybe you won't be able to get the Explorer, get the oil change in the Explorer. Get your kids out of soccer. I know it's good for them physically. I know it. Getting them up and down the field is a wonderful thing. It's great conditioning. We don't like it. We don't endorse it here on the Phil Henry Show. We don't like it. Have them play basketball. Yeah, that makes them run up and down, too. And there's a lot more scoring. And the parents like to go to the games. Soccer, we hate. I hated taking my kids to soccer. I hated it. Actually, I never took my kids to soccer. I didn't know them when they played soccer. I did take them to baseball, and boy, were they bad at that. The only thing they do know how to play is football. And tomorrow night, we're going up against Oak Park, and it'll be Oak Park's homecoming. And let me just explain something to Oak Park. We may beat you. I hope you won't take it personally. We don't want to ruin your homecoming or anything, but you may want to get ready for a spanking. And if that happens, I will be talking about it on the air Monday. But soccer? Never. So, Mrs. Fibro, thank you very much for your letter, but we hope your kids never play soccer again. And we'd like the Rancho Cucamonga AYSO soccer franchise to be disbanded and dismantled forthwith so that never again does a child out there kick a round, funky-looking ball around when he ought to be dribbling at it out there on a basketball court. Going up against big, big, scary black men in the pros. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the Phil Henry Show. We very much thank you for being with us. And tonight on our program, we're going to be tackling a few issues. We have the fact that, well, for instance, I just won a Saskatchewan Rough Riders helmet online. What do you think about that? What do you think about a football team being called the Rough Riders? Pretty scary, huh? I also, I mentioned the email from the soccer mom. We also have a little bit on groupie chicks that we wanted to talk about. Apparently, there is a website called Sludge Metal, and on it, these groupies post their impressions of various rock stars. But what I'm finding out is, and there have been groupies for as long as there's been rock and roll. I mean, there have been groupies going back for literally decades. So the idea of a groupie is nothing new. But they hang around with the guys, and I guess the idea is to basically get into bed with them. Now, what the rock stars do, many of them, is they humiliate these women. If a girl, for instance, wants to get on the bus with a rock and roll band, then they'll start paddling her with cucumbers and stuff and doing things with the drumsticks that you don't want me to tell you about. And really, it's basically how much can you take if you want to be with the band? Because these women think it's really great to be with the band. Then they sleep with these guys, then they go to this website, and they post all kinds of disparaging things about their prowess and the size of their member. So it's kind of a, you know, a little give and take, a little, you know, they take the humiliation, but then they can get back at these guys on these websites. Now, every business, believe it or not, in the entertainment world at least, has its groupies, even this one. Even the radio business, we got our groupies. One of the sports that I've seen the groupies most active at is motorsports. You've ever been to an automobile race? You've never seen groupies like the ones you've seen at standing behind the pit wall at a racetrack. Because those women are so intent on sleeping with a driver, they become part of the pit crew. They become part of the team. They start running the whole thing. Next thing you know, they own the car. Anything. And they stand there, and they want to get noticed by the drivers, and it's wild, man. I was on a team bus, the LA Lakers team bus in 1988. As I watched the bus pull up in front of the hotel in Detroit, the women standing outside the hotel were absolutely gorgeous. The women just stand there. There's crowds of them. See, this came as a shock to me. Everybody else may be very sophisticated and know all this stuff. I didn't know this, man. I mean, there's like six deep, great-looking women just standing around waiting. You know, you dig it, because there's a one in whatever chance that you're going to get picked out of the crowd by one of the players. Hey, come on in with me. It's worth a shot is what I'm saying, and that's why I recommend to every young woman listening to me, try it. No, I don't know. If I saw my daughter in a crowd waiting for a bunch of basketball players, are you kidding me? Ain't no daughter of mine going to do that. No way, no way, no way. Big 7-foot guy, forget it. No, my daughter is, she's going after some of those soccer boys. My daughter's going to marry a jockey. And if you go outside the hockey arena, you go outside the basketball or baseball, the same thing. There's women standing around with cookies and with donuts and with cupcakes and with, you know, offers of enlarged, enhanced things. Everything's enhanced on them all over, just hanging out. Their cookies are just hanging out all over the place. And the ball players are just, yeah, you, and you tomorrow night, you the night after. Okay, you four with me. And that's how it goes. Now, granted, all you got to do is know how to play baseball or basketball. Now, in my business, it isn't quite that good. But even still, you can have a personal appearance someplace. There's at least two women in the line waiting to have your autograph who would immediately go off to you, with you someplace, so long as you paid. Sometimes these players have a guy, like their main man. You know, like your man. He's my man, you know, and they will pick these chicks out of the crowd and then bring them to the player who is, you know, luxuriating in the cocktail lounge of the hotel. He may be there, all 7'2" of them stretched out in a corner booth. He's having just a little bit of Crown Royal and water, because a lot of these guys who play basketball and have a lot of money, their taste in booze is still in their rear ends. They wouldn't know a good glass of whiskey if, you know, they drank the world dry. So even though these guys are loaded, right, they're still drinking that Crown Royal crap. But whatever, right? So the man goes out, and the man picks out the girl, and then they bring her in, and she sits down, and for the next hour, 2 hours, whatever it is, half hour, even 15 minutes, it's, oh, she's gushing and everything, and he pays the tab, and upstairs they go. And that's the way it is in every NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, and NFL city. I kid you not. How do I know? Ladies and gentlemen, I've seen it. I'm Phil Hendry. So the rock groupies, really just the beginning, you're really just scratching the surface on this whole groupie thing. I get frightened, frankly, though, if I find out that, like, IBM executives, are the women standing around outside, you know, the Corning? And are they standing around outside of Martin Marietta waiting for the eggheads to come out? There's some, like, groupies at the Caltech Beaver Games, you know? And they want to just, the math and science cats. I bet you there's, but I'm kidding about that, but I bet you there's serious groupies hanging around the UN. What do you think? I bet you there's serious groupies hanging around the Congress. The White House, forget it. There's too much Secret Service, right? But Monica Lewinsky, what was she other than a groupie? That's the kind they have at the White House. Large, lovely, but large. Yeah, they want to do a diplomat. They want to do the most powerful man in the world. And what was it that Henry Kissinger said? Power is the greatest aphrodisiac. Power. So that's coming from a guy that knows. That's coming from a guy with experience. That's coming from Hank Kissinger, the German stallion. I bet you that guy is, I bet you he's built for power. Hank Kissinger, stud. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. Check out what's coming up in the next few weeks here on The Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. Extreme Radio. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Phil Hendry Show, hey, how's Ben doing? Is he all right? Ever since they've reported, you know, I've been thinking about Ben for a while, and ever since they reported that the guy is actually alive and he's making tapes, I don't think he is, like, up to speed on what's going on. Because we've all been doubting his existence, right? Don't you think he'd say something like, I'm alive. It's Bin Laden, and I'm alive. And I notice how he's taking credit for stuff he has absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with. That's the great thing about this Bin Laden tape. If you look at it very carefully, the guy's taking credit for crap he didn't have anything to do with. The Moscow thing, the Kuwait shooting thing, the French oil tanker thing, the Bali. The guy, he don't have to do anything else. There's all kinds of guys now that got these little organizations that are sort of patterned after Al-Qaeda. This cat is kind of like he's like the original McDonald's franchise of terrorism. Now there's a whole lot of offshoots. You know, there's like a Jack in the Box of terrorism over here. There's a Wendy's of terrorism over there. And they're all kind of, you know, I don't know that they're actually competing, but they're kind of different. And he's taking credit now like it was his plan. See, I'm telling you, here's a guy that never let anybody know that anything was going down. And then September 11th, I don't even think he knew that was going down. That's honest to God, I don't think he did. I don't think he had a clue. I think he trained those people. And I think he trained them. And I think he gave them ideas. I think he went back to his camel and had some nice intimate sex with the camel and then went to bed and woke up the next morning as surprised as anybody that the World Trade Center went down. But, of course, being a megalomaniac like he is, he wants to take credit for it. So he was standing there accepting kudos, shaking hands, guys toasting him there at the big table with the cigars. Ben, you done good, you know.
Thank you. It's just what I do, you know. It was
a hell of a thing. You really took those people out.
Yeah, thanks a lot. You know, I was a little kind of like weird the way they did it, but...
So I don't think he knew. But... He's the guy that trained him, so he's the guy that's going to get his neck stretched for it. I've also been rethinking, did he have plastic surgery? No, he didn't have any plastic surgery. I don't know why I thought that. All you got to do is go back to the last videotape we saw of the guy. He looked horrifying, horrible. I bet you he's stone white. Because all of that commentary about how bad he looked, it all gets back to the guy. That's why he had that burlap hanging on the rock, because it got back to them that they could figure out where he was by looking at the rock. So they just hang the burlap. So the guy listens to everything that's mentioned about him in the Western press. He's so in love with himself and his press clippings. And the last thing he wants to look like is, you know, he's got a complex. You know, he wants to look his best. So he won't go on camera unless he has his makeup on now. They want him to photograph his good side. And now with the beard turning white and he hasn't eaten properly and his kidney is crapped out, I bet you he looks like about 18 miles of bad dirt highway. Laying on a cot someplace in Pakistan up in the hills. Now, the guy that got the tape, the Al Jazeera guy, had interviewed him. And this guy says, no, I'm sure that I heard that he was alive after his hideout was destroyed in Tora Bora and then he ran into Pakistan. But that he thinks the guy's still in Pakistan. And by the way, Al Jazeera... Nice job, but please don't call yourselves journalists. All you guys, all you are messenger boys. You just take the tape and you play it. Take the tape and play it. There ain't a one of you guys that anybody's ever even heard of. What do you mean, news station? What are you talking about? All you guys are little messenger boys who go to the bazaar, crap in your pants, scared all the way. You take the tape from the furtive-looking towel wrapper that gives it to you. You go back to the station like the dutiful little, you know, robot that you are, and you put the tape on. What are you talking about, all news station? Those guys are probably afraid to get blown off the map if they don't roll one of those tapes. So they just do as they're told. There is no journalism in the Middle East. Anyway, that's what I think's up with Bin. Now, getting back to groupies... Henry Kissinger probably had more bizarre sex, and in the White House, in the kitchen of the White House, than any person who ever worked in a cabinet position before or after. Just to come up with a line like, power is the best aphrodisiac, means that there were things done with that ketchup bottle, even while Dick Nixon was snoring asleep. Downstairs, as there's pots and pans clanging, oh my God! So you go to these parts. Now, I didn't tell you the good news, or not the good news, the interesting information, and I don't want to say who, but let's just say somebody that I know. And she is the niece of a very good friend of mine. She worked in the Bush office building back in the late 80s, early 90s. She worked for Bush Sr. And when I say she worked for Bush Sr., she worked for the White House. She was one of these interns went to Washington, all giddy and full of glee, working for the new Republican revolution, right? And she's one of these typical young Republicans, like 20, 21, 22, thought Ronald Reagan was just the greatest thing since the new John Kennedy. So they would have these luncheons, and they would have them on Friday. President Bush would have a big luncheon for all of the staff members that worked in the White House, and lay this luncheon out on the lawn, you know, near the West Wing, and they would all go and eat. Well, anyway, they'd go out there, and sometimes the heavyweights would come and join them. The head of the CIA and this William Webster, who was the head of the FBI, used to grab her and put her on his knee and bounce her up and down and rub her stomach, and yeah. Now, a guy only acts that way if he's used to acting that way. And guys that act that way are used to having women go, "Oh, Mr. Webster." And women that, you know, giggle and act that way are generally doing the bidding of the FBI. Or, as my main man, Tony Hopkins, would say, FBI. If you know what I'm talking about. And if you just tuned in, we're talking about bizarre sexual practices in and around the FBI and other groupies. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Okay, I got the statement here. I want to read this to you, and then, of course, we will bring in our expert commentary on this. We've got with us tonight a couple of expert commentators, but I will read to you the Bin Laden statements. And, oh, yeah, by the way, I was reading, Canada, you're up for grabs too, baby. Bin Laden, he singled you out. He said that you can wait for, you know, the sons and daughters of Islam to do their thing up there. Not that the guy knows what he's talking about, but the good words there that Kretchen clown said about, you know, it's America's fault and all that, it ain't going to save your ass. Because Bin he's on his way, man. Australia, Canada, Germany, America, forget it. All that guy wants to do is just kill a whole bunch of Westerners so that we can all wear towels and do the five times a day bullcrap. And basically just act like a bunch of jackasses the way they do. And by the way, if anybody who practices Islam is offended by what I'm saying, I'm very sorry, but you know it's true. So here's what Bin Laden said. The incidents that have taken place were carried out by the zealous sons of Islam in defense of their religion and in response to the order of their God and Prophet. What Bush, the Pharaoh of this age, was doing in terms of killing our sons in Iraq, and what Israel, the United States ally, was doing in terms of bombing houses that shelter old people, women, and children with U.S.-made aircraft in Palestine, were sufficient to prompt the sane among your rulers to distance themselves from this criminal gang. What do your governments want by allying themselves with the criminal gang in the White House against Muslims? Do your governments not know that the White House gangsters are the biggest butchers of this age? It is time that we get even. You will be killed just as you kill and will be bombed just as you bomb. And expect more that will further distress you. The Islamic nation, thanks to God, has started to attack you at the hands of its beloved sons who pledged to God to continue jihad as long as they are alive through words and weapons to establish right and expose falsehood. In conclusion, I ask God to help us champion his religion and continue jihad for his sake until we meet him while he is satisfied with us, and he can do so. Praise be to Almighty God. Okay, let's see what our panel of experts have to say.
On the R.C. Collins blows-o-meter, egg salad.
There you go. Is that the only one we have, egg salad? What happened to broccoli?
Well, I have them all, but they're not here.
I want the broccoli one. I want it all. So there you have the statement, egg salad. Hey, Bin Laden, you don't know what you're talking about, man. You haven't had any contact with anything other than a sheep in so long. This cat thinks he's, like, plugged into what's going on around the world. The only thing you've been plugged into is, you know, Aunt Daisy's old cow. You've been plugged into that plenty. And you really got to knock it off with those young boys. And by the way, let me just say this about Islam and about people who say that Islam is a religion of peace. How come every freaking website that I go on about Islam, just about Islam, every one that I go on has got some kind of a pitch about Palestine and some kind of a pitch about how America is screwing up? What is it with you guys? Honest to God, I really want to know. Are you a religion or are you a political party? Just be straight with me, man. For me to be a Muslim, do I got to hate the West, or do I have to, like, have a problem with it, or do I have to have a problem with Jews? Is that it? Must be I got to have a problem with Jews. See, here's the thing. People say, well, religions are all very good. It's the people that practice them that are bad, and sometimes the establishment of certain religions can be profoundly bad. But the religion itself is very, very pure. I'm having a real hard time believing that about Islam. I really am. I haven't found one person that practices that religion that hasn't got some hard-on about Israel, about, you know, Bush, about the war on terror. The only guy that I saw who made any sense was that poor kid that got singled out at that diner in Georgia. Remember those three kids that got singled out by that lady? He came on the air and he said, there is no difference between Islam and America. He said that there's no difference and there's no conflict between my religion and America. He's the only one that I ever heard say anything like that, which is fine. I mean, if that's the case, that's the case. And if, you know, he's the only cat, he's the only cat. But every website I go on about Islam, they got some, you know, little thing, and they got a little jab they want to throw in about Israel, and a little this, a little that. Just knock it off. And now the Muslims in Canada, they got a problem up there because Jerry Falwell said that their religion blows. So now they got a real problem with Falwell. They want to sue him for slander. They're going to sue him for slandering their religion. Why don't you cats just take a chill? You're going to sue this and bomb that. Blow this up and wag your finger in this person's face and run around all over the place talking about how hot you are. And, you know, the cat that came into the... I'll never forget, man, when Marie and I were in Hana, here's a guy, two guys come into the bar with their wives who are wearing the thing. You know, they got the towel over the head. And I'm telling you, they sat there, and I got no problem with that, but they sat there looking pissed off for about 45 minutes to an hour. They didn't dig the hula dancing, my wife looked at me at one point and said, I wonder if this hula dancing to them is porn. And, you know, they had the sour-ass look on their face. And I wanted to go over what I almost did, and my wife forced me not to do it. She said she would divorce me if I did it. I mean, she literally said, I will leave, I will get in the car, I'll go to the airport, and I'll fly back to California if you do that. I was going to send over a round of drinks. There were like four of them there, you know, the two women with the towels, the two guys. I was going to send over like a round of Stoli. Just a round of Stoli and Rolling Rock. Yo! All right, enough of that crap. Enough of my, you know, my hegemonist, colonialist, imperialist bullcrap for one day. Enough of my Iraq stuff. Let's get back on the straight and narrow. Let's talk about the curious and slightly depraved and frightening sexual habits of politicians. So what was I was talking about? William Webster? Okay, who else? William Webster's the only guy that I know. But don't you know at the cocktail parties in Washington, D.C., the women, man, you think groupies are good looking. The groupies, they're all, yeah, there's questions as to whether they've all had their shots. But those babes back in D.C. with those political parties and the evening gowns and the big state dinners. And, yeah, I'm the head of the CIA, I'm the vice president, I'm the president pro tem of the Senate, all these power players. You want to know how I know? Because my wife is a member of a Republican Women's Party. How square is that, right? That she's in a Republican Women's Party, which is fine. And Orrin Hatch, who's the senator of Utah, He spoke at one of their meetings. Oh, my God, they were all a titter. You would have thought freaking Tom Jones was showing up. And she said, here's the picture. And there's Maria with her friend and Orrin Hatch is standing there just all stud-like. And the women are all just giddy and gleeful and quivering, knees quivering. You know. And, you know, they all ran out there to hear him speak, and it was just such a sexy thing. And I said to her, I said, honey, Orrin Hatch, that's cool. You know, I could get you Dr. Laura to speak in front of the, you know, I think I could talk to Laura and maybe she'd, that's a drag. You know, she don't want that. I said, you know, I could get you like, you know, whatever, Susie Orman or something. Forget that. Orrin Hatch, huh? All right. All right, 1-800-449-8686, our website, philhenryshow.com.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, Extreme Radio. One 800 449 8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Hey, you know what? Interesting thing when you watch television, especially Fox News or CNN, they always have a show on, and they'll bring on some expert or they'll bring on some opinion person, right? Well, good evening and welcome to the Alan Combs Show or whatever. And this evening we're going to have Mary Blue Ass, and she's from the Funky Institute, and here's Harley Jones. And ostensibly, it's about them debating an issue, ostensibly. But really, what you're getting is an on-air audition for an on-air job. These people don't really care what they're saying. They just want to be really interesting while they say it. And so they come on there and, okay, Bill, what do you think?
Well, I'll tell you right now, Bill, these guys are nuts and everything's out there. It's goofy.
Well, come on. No, come on, Charlie. You know it's goofy. And they start yelling and screaming, and they're, man, they're auditioning for a gig. They want to get a gig. They want to get on a panel. They want to have a show. They want to have a half hour. They want to have an hour. It's like, it's what everybody was saying during that sniper thing. Well, what are you cats talking about today, man? Are you really, you're just kind of rehashing stuff that we've already talked about. Now let's bring on the people with the, let's bring on the people with the axe to grind who want to do the audition.
Well, let me say this about that, Biff. All these people who've been saying that President Bush can go ahead and pound sand, they're right. And, you know, the guy's going up and down, and he's screaming, and he's waving a pencil, and another guy goes, no, I'll tell you.
It's almost like the guy says, okay, round one, go, and they... I see the guy who's the loudest and who is the most demonstrative, and the guy who, you know, makes no sense gets the job. Ready? Go. Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow, and everywhere... I need a new engineer. I'm looking for on the R.C. Collins scale, you dip. Can we get somebody... Is Cabot coming in tomorrow? Thank God, Jeff, you'll be in. Take a few more days off, will you, Craig?
On the R.C. Collins Blows-O-Meter? Egg salad.
That's what we think of Craig's engineering tonight. Jesus. Get that into my digicard, Jim, will you? Anyway, here is somebody. Hello?
Hello.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Very good. How are you, sir?
Yes, sir. This is Khalid.
Yes, sir. My name is Khalid.
Yeah, what can we do for you?
Well, I was just calling because I wanted to commend you. I think I've been listening to the show for about a month, and I understand it very well. But it seems to be a little different. So I'm on more of a serious note tonight. And you should be commended for bringing up something about the religion. I was raised in a Muslim household, and about 7 years ago, I walked away from the faith because I realized that it did not hold water.
It doesn't?
Absolutely not.
So it's a total crock, huh?
It's an absolute crock.
Are you religious?
Well, I think that's a dangerous word.
Well, let me put it this way. Do you adhere to any other religion besides Islam?
Well, I've investigated other religions, and I think they all have some value, but I think you need to be very careful the way you pursue whatever it is you're trying to find. God is many things to many people.
Yeah, I get that, but you're not religious.
No, I don't like to say that I'm religious.
Okay.
I think saying you're religious is a crock.
Okay, fine. I mean, some people like to practice religion.
Yeah, probably so. But
like Christianity, I grew up in a Christian household. Well, guess what happened to me? I got older, I saw it, I didn't dig it. I broke away from it. I criticized it. I thought some of it was hypocritical and some of it was wrong. It seems like if you're Muslim and you break away from it, you speak out against it, somebody's going to put a bullet through your head.
Yeah, I could not agree more.
There's the basic problem with Islam, that there's no freedom of thought in that religion. The women are all treated like cows.
Well, the religion
itself. And if you speak out against the religion, you get a bullet through your head. And all the while, they talk about wanting equality and being acceptance, a religion of peace. I'm not so sure Bush knows what he's talking about when he says that Islam is a religion of peace.
I could not agree with you more.
You know what I'm saying?
Very disappointing, yes, sir.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I mean, where does he get his information? Who's he talking to?
I don't know. I think Mr. Bush is a Christian man himself. I know his wife.
Yeah, a lot of those guys claim to be. You're right, yeah. Yeah, they all claim they're Christian. You know, they show up at the Presbyterian church, and then they walk out in a nice press suit, and who knows what they're doing.
Well, I can tell you this much. The Prophet Muhammad is a false prophet, and he is nothing much more than a schizophrenic pedophile.
Oh, now, who is this, Jerry Falwell calling? I thought you said your name was Khalid. What are you, Putin? You're quoting Falwell now. Who knows what Muhammad was? Who knows who Jesus was, for that matter? I know one thing about Jesus. He got himself nailed to a cross. I don't know whether that's a good idea or a bad idea. Some people seem to think it was a really great idea. Okay, fine. Then we got Moses. What's up with him? Walking through the water, burning bush, cat goes in the desert for 40 years. I'm not sure I want to follow him either. Now let's move on to Shiva. 18 arms? No thanks. Dig what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm
kind of the Buddhist thing, because that cat was laughing. They actually have a Buddha that laughs. He's just laughing his ass off. And I'm down with that. Any religion that endorses the use of hallucinogenics, I'm certainly in favor of. I'm kidding about that, Khalid. No, okay. I think we all come from kind of a common area, dude. And I don't see a lot of Muslim kids busting away from the faith and saying the stuff that Christian kids do. You know, in other words, Christian kids will break away from Christianity and say, yeah, Christianity, it was really not my thing. I mean, it was kind of hypocritical, and Christian nations are violent, and they preach peace and love, and you know, the leaders are a little corrupt, even though they claim that they're Christian. And of course, we have all of the sexual impropriety and et cetera, et cetera. And it's not surprising for a person when they hit their age of adulthood to say, no, I'm not going to practice that religion anymore. It happened to me, right? I don't hear any Muslim kids saying, though, you know, this is really like too over the line, man, blowing up buildings. And it's wrong to be so involved in politics when you're talking about destroying a people and destroying a country. And there's probably something that we could do a little bit better than, martyr ourselves. And, you know, screw Muslim, screw Muhammad. You can take Islam and flush it down the toilet, and I wipe my rear end with the Quran or whatever the hell it is that they say. I don't hear them saying it, though. The reason why is because there's violent retribution if you say that. And, like, let's take a look at the Palestinians. There isn't one person over there that's got the balls to stand up and say anything truthful because they're afraid they're going to get a gun. They're going to get a bullet through their head. That's the way of the world over there, right? So, Arafat stays in power, more houses get bulldozed, more people get killed, and on it goes. Man, they're just living large over there, aren't they? Okay, let me go over here to Jeff. Jeff, go ahead.
Hey, Phil.
Hi.
How you doing?
Fine.
Yeah, man, I'd like to disagree with you a little bit on what you've been saying.
Sure.
Because actually Islam and Christianity and Judaism, you know, all have their roots and, you know, they're all about peace and love and forgiveness and making the world a better place than when you entered it. But I think the only reason why that everybody is perceiving it as evil is because obviously in America the big business controls the media, and they're the ones who are actually feeling threatened by this, because Osama bin Laden or whoever always wants to attack the business, the capital of America.
Let me ask some. Where are the Islamic leaders who speak out against this animal?
The media doesn't want to show them.
Oh, the media doesn't want to show them, but they're out there, huh?
I believe so. Yeah.
Well, where are they? Tell me, and I'll get them on the air.
They're not getting the publicity.
Well, where are they, man? I'll find them and I'll put them on the air. You tell me.
I don't know.
I've been on websites. I've been on Islamic websites up and down the dial, man, and every last one of them has got a political ring, an anti-American ring, and an anti-Israel ring. Every time I look at the Islamic website. So if any of you guys out there are Islamic and you want to speak out about what a pile of crap Bin Laden is, you're gonna have as much time on my show as I want. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.